Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 32. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Then our text this evening. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning an offence as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them, and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So far God's word, and as we consider its meaning to us this evening, let's come before our God in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for your word to us this evening. We thank you for the encouragement that it brings us as we're reminded this evening of the faith that you give us. Lord, as we consider what faith does, we pray that you'd open our hearts. We pray that we may be fed by your word, that we may be encouraged, that we may be encouraged to go out and live our lives for you this week on the basis of what you have done for us. Bless us as we consider your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who has family photo albums at home? Some photo albums, yes. We have some, but for us as a family, most of our photo albums have now gone electronic. And the blessing or the curse of the electronic age is that we have thousands of photos, literally, there all saved up. But every now and then we go and have a look at them. We go, having to look back, thinking about what we used to look like. Just think about that, the days when you used to have hair. Now, Luke shaved his, so that doesn't quite count, but I'm sure there's photos there where Luke had some hair. How you looked on your wedding day. How young, how beautiful, how handsome. But it's also a reminder of where you've come from. Where you've been, what you've experienced, what God has done for you. What you've been through, how far you've come. And in many ways, Hebrews 11 is a photo album. A photo album that looks back not just for the people who are receiving this letter, but looks back to the beginning of time. That reminds the Hebrews of what God had been doing through the nation of Israel, what God had been doing for his people, a way of encouraging them, reminding them God is at work. This evening we're going to look at faith. We're going to concentrate on verses 1 through 3. And as we do so, we're going to consider where we've been. We're going to look forward to the hope we have, but also how faith helps us to live in the present. This evening we're going to see that our faith allows us to hold on to God. That's the main idea I want you to take away. Our faith allows us to hold on to God and his promises. And the first thing we're going to see this evening is that faith trusts God's word. The context of our passage we get from verse 32. Chapter 10, verse 32. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. The people that the author is writing to had been through tough times. Some of them were still going through tough times. It seems likely that they were being persecuted for their faith. And the question that they were asking themselves, and the question that Hebrews addresses is it worth it? Is it worth it to go through all of this, to go through this persecution? Is it worth it to go through this suffering? Wouldn't it just be easier to go back to the easy old ways of the Jewish religion? A religion that the Romans weren't worried about. Is it worth it to suffer and struggle for the faith? And the author's answer is yes. Yes, it is worth it. Hang in there. Verse 35, he says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. What is promised? What's the promise here? Well, it comes from Habakkuk chapter 2. And the answer is, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. The coming one being Jesus Christ. And faith takes that promise and it grabs hold of it. That's the assurance of things hoped for. The return of Jesus Christ. The end of suffering. The promise that Jesus is returning, that is going to bring his people home. That's the assurance of things hoped for. But in the meantime, the Hebrews had to wait. And in many ways, we are in exactly the similar situation. We are still waiting for the return of our Lord and Savior. We don't face persecution. As Steve reminded us as he prayed this morning, we don't face persecution in the same ways that the Hebrews did. But we certainly face struggles, trials, and sufferings in life. And as I look around the room, I know many of the trials and sufferings that many of you have been through or are still going through. But in the midst of those sufferings, in the midst of those trials, faith grabs hold of the promise of God's word. Jesus is coming. Jesus is returning. And in fact, faith grabs hold of every single one of the promises in God's word. As the Heidelberg Catechism reminds us, true faith is a knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals in his word is true. That's what faith reminds us. That's what faith does. It holds on to every single promise. Every single word in the Bible that you have in your hands is true. Every single bit. And that's important. It's important that we can trust it all as a whole, because when we begin to say certain parts aren't really God's word, certain parts don't really belong there, that's where we start to get into trouble. And the origin of every single heresy, without fail, begins when men and women say, well, there's this little bit of the Bible that we don't nearly need to believe. This little bit of the Bible that isn't true. The virgin birth, well, miracles, it's a nice story, but it's not really true. Hell, as I read this morning, hell's out of fashion. That when the Bible speaks about hell, it's speaking figuratively. It's not really a hell. No, brothers and sisters, we need to believe every single bit. Because if we don't believe every single bit, and if every single bit is true, then how do we know what is true and what isn't? And who then becomes the judge of what is true and what is false? Who becomes the judge? That's right, Nick. We do. We become the judge. And we start placing ourselves over authority, our authority over God's word. And then we're in trouble. But faith rather hangs on to God's word, trusts and believes in his promises. The assurance of things hoped for. And that word hoped for, what does that mean? Things hoped for. Is faith just a hope? A hope for the future that things are going to turn out okay? Boys and girls, sometimes your parents ask you to clean your room and they send you to go and clean your room. And they're hoping that you're cleaning your room. Is that the kind of hope that's being spoken of here? A couple of weeks ago I spoke and I gave that example of that wonderful dinner, that feast that someone cooked for you. And some people went home hoping that they were going to get that sort of a dinner and were disappointed. Is that the kind of hope that's being spoken of here in our passage? No, that's not what it means here. This hope is, and the Heidelberg Catechism has it right there. It's a knowledge, it's a conviction. It's a steadfast foundation that God's word is true. That Jesus is coming, that we can trust in God and his promises. That we can look to the future and know what is coming in a good way for us. But it's also for the here and now. The conviction of things not seen. Now, when I was growing up, sometimes you could get those books. I'm sure you can still get them. And you look at the page and you can't see anything. And then you get these special glasses, or you put a special light on the page, and then you can see the secret code or the secret message. Well, faith's like that for us. It gives us special glasses to look and see and trust that God is at work right now in our lives. That we can believe. Faith allows us to believe. As we read in Romans 8 verse 28. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Faith can grab hold of that promise and know that the good and the bad, see the good and the bad things that are happening in life, and know and trust, no matter how difficult that they are, that God is at work behind the scenes. We may not get it. We may not understand it. We may struggle with it. But faith tells us God knows and he is in control. Faith allows us to say things like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in Daniel 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are facing the furnace. They refuse to bow down to the idol. And what's their answer to King Nebuchadnezzar? O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, if we're thrown into the furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Faith has the conviction that no matter what happens, good or bad, God is with us. God never leaves us. God carries us through, even if our faith is weak, if we're struggling. Do you trust God? Can you trust God? No matter what, faith allows you to do this, to hold on to God, to trust God and his promises. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But secondly, faith pleases God. And we see that in verse 2. Now, I must confess that I've read this passage many, many times, and I often skip over this verse here. But as I considered what it means for us this evening, I had to slow down and stop and think about it. And if you look at it, it's a remarkable verse, isn't it? For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, people pleased God. Can anyone tell me what a commendation is? Has anyone received a commendation? What's a commendation? Recognition of good behavior, saving someone from a burning building, getting a certificate for learning all your spelling words. Do you give certificates in homeschooling for learning spelling words? No, no such. No. But you get the idea, don't you, boys and girls? It's a certificate, sometimes it's a medal, for saying, well done, good job. And the people of old, which the author to the Hebrews is going to explain, say that God was pleased with what they had done. Have you thought about that? Your faith pleases God. He commends you for it. Does that mean we can earn God's favor? That we can make God like us by our faith? Well, no, we learned a couple of weeks ago in the Heidelberg Catechism that God does all the work. And that remains true. But that just makes what is said here all the more remarkable. Imagine that you go and buy, boys and girls, a present for your mum. You want to go and buy something for your mum, but you don't have any money. So your mum takes you to the shop, buys the present for you, wraps it up, so that on her birthday, all you need to do is give it to her. And then when you do give this present to your mum, does she say, oh, well, thanks so much. I know what it is. I got it. I bought it. I paid for it. Big deal. No, she doesn't do that. She says, wow, thank you. You got this for me. How thoughtful. And in many ways, that's kind of what God does. He gives us the want, the desire to buy the present, to be right with God, to confess our sins. The Holy Spirit works in our heart. Jesus Christ pays the price for us. He makes it ours. He helps us to believe. And then when we come to God in faith, when we ask him, when we come to him and repent of our sins, when we become his, God having done all of the work, God comes to us, stoops down and says, wow, thank you. Your faith is amazing. It pleases me. After God has done all the work, he's still pleased with us. Faith holds on to God and his promises. Faith given to us by our God pleases him. If I can say it reverently, our faith makes God smile. Our response is to live as we've been learning in the Heidelberg Catechism, to live a life of thankfulness to him, to hold on, to stay the course no matter what we face. But the author knows that that's not so easy for us to do, so he gives us further encouragement. We see that in our third and final point. Faith sees God working. Now, I've touched on that already in the conviction of things not seen. But verse 3 takes us way back to the beginning of time, to the creation of the universe. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. The things that are seen. Think of creation. The beautiful Southern Alps that we can see at the moment covered in snow. The Canterbury foothills. Mount Thomas, Mount Grey, Mount Richardson. The beautiful beaches that we have near us. Sumner, Waikuku, Pegasus, and others. The Waimak, the Ashley River. The eyes of faith look at that and say, I know who made that. And in fact, boys and girls, you have those eyes. Tell me, who made all those beautiful things that I've just described? Who made them? Who made them? God did. That's right, Juliet. God did. Yeah. God made them. Slightly more difficult question. What did God make everything out of? What did he make it out of? Absolutely right. I heard you in the back there. God made it out of nothing. Well done. Out of nothing. What is seen was made out of things that are not, seen is made out of things that are visible. Was not made, I should say, sorry. Tongue tied there. What was seen was not made out of things that are visible. God made everything out of nothing. He simply spoke and it came into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be plants, trees, and animals, and they were there. God took dust of the ground, breathed into it, and created Adam. Now the world looks at all of this, looks at creation, looks at nature, as they would call it, and denies all of what we just said. As Romans 1 verse 20 says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. The world says, Big Bang, no God. Faith allows us to say, God made all of this. God created it. So that we can say with the psalmist in Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. For he spoke and it came to be, he commanded and it stood firm. The eyes of faith look at creation and see God's handiwork. As he sprinkles the mountains with snow, as he fills the waters with river, with water, as the waves of the sea come upon the beach, the eyes of faith say, that's God at work. That's God at work. Now, we can't force people to see that. Only the Holy Spirit can. But we can bear witness to that. We can remind people and tell people about that. And we can also see God's hand at work, not only in creation, but also in our lives. It's the eyes of faith that see God working in our lives, in our hearts. So that we can say, as the Catechism says, and recognize that out of sheer grace earned for us by Christ, not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God and have been granted salvation. The eyes of faith can look at our own lives, can look back through our lives and say, I can see what God has done for me. I can see what God is doing. And the eyes of faith help us as we go through tough times, as we're stuck, as we go through troubled times. When we do that, the eyes of faith help us to look up. To look up to the heavens, as we heard this morning, to look to the mountains, to be reminded, who made this? God did. To be reminded, who is still holding all of this together? Who is at work in us? Who has promised that he's going to continue to work in us? God has. Our faith allows us, when times are troubled, when we are stuck, to hold on to God, to hang on to him and not let go, to trust in God's word, to look forward to the future, but also in the storms of life to have our feet firmly grounded here on earth, to hold on to God and his promises, to please him as we trust in him, to trust in him as he works in us and through us. Let's give thanks now to God for the gift of faith he has given us. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith, the gift that allows us to grab onto you, to hold onto you. We thank you that that is a gift that we cannot lose, a gift you've given us that through your work in us, in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that faith allows us to hold on to your word and know that your promises are true. Help us, Lord, when we struggle to hold on to those promises. Remind us of those promises when we are going through troubled times. We thank you that no matter what we face, we can know that your promises are true, that there is a day coming when our Lord will return to take us home. We thank you, Lord, that faith reminds us that we can face anything, that you are there with us, that you are at work, even especially in the difficult things. We're amazed and thankful that you can be pleased with our faith. We thank you for your work in us. Continue that work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.